Okay, Wes, thank you so much. That's a way to get into the mindset of worshiping in the Word. Okay, let's first of all open the Scriptures, if you will. I've sang too much. My voice is going out on me. I've been singing. It is. And some not so great. Okay. Gospel of John 13. Let's go into prayer. I have a special prayer request today. Tim Walker, if you will put Tim and Nancy Walker on your prayer list. They have three children. And Tim is just going through a lot of things, maybe a major surgery. And so please be in prayer for Tim and Nancy Walker. And appreciate that very much. Continue to be in prayer for all those that we mention in our prayers. Vic Edwards, Wichita Falls, Nancy Becker, and Cameron, Missouri, John Hintz in Tucson, and the old man, Dan Hill. He's getting older all the time. Now he's really old. And I sent him an email, and I made it, you know, like 24 font size, and I said, I did this because I know when you people get old, y'all can't see too well. And so just be in prayer for each other. What was this? All right, you got it. Okay. Okay. Well, that's a good way to put it. Okay. So we don't know their names, but Gene does and God does. Todd and Emily. Okay. So we'll be in prayer for Todd and Emily. And just be in prayer for each other, please. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer to the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the things that have us to see. Very important study, because we are in now, what does the foot washing mean? What is it? How does it affect me in my daily life? So let's begin with the word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray as the Spirit opens our eyes to the things that you'd have us to see in this very important action by our Savior just a few hours before the crucifixion. Something so very important to Him because it is important to us. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes tonight to the things you'd have us to see in regard to the foot washing, that what he's really demonstrating will demand much more than just getting down and washing someone's feet. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's jump off at verse 15, kind of get us going tonight. In verse 15, for I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Now, what is important to kind of lay it out for you is this is the only time we have actual feet washing like this. In all of the epistles to the church, there is no foot washing. None. Paul doesn't talk about it. Peter, who was with the Lord this night, by the way, he doesn't talk about it, and he writes some epistles to the church. John, who writes three epistles to the church, he doesn't mention it, and he was here tonight. None of them talk about foot washing. So, we can conclude either one, it wasn't important, just forget it, or two, it meant something far more important than just getting down and washing someone's feet. Paul will talk about the communion, but he does not talk about the foot washing. So what is going on with the foot washing? He gave us an example of what? Did Paul and Peter and John, namely Peter and John, who were there this night that were studying, did they just forget it and think it wasn't important? Did Paul think it wasn't important? This example that Christ gave, did they just decide, well, that's, we don't want to do that? Or is it something else involved? And that took us to the example of Jesus Christ, where we left off last week. And that took us to Galatians chapter 6. So let's turn to Galatians 6, because I like this verse, because it's right at the heart of what we're talking about and what we have to do. It's put in different words than washing feet, but it is very important in dealing with what is happening. So we have started last week at Galatians 6, but we noted Galatians 5 dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. And then we noted the verses dealing after that with, at the end of Galatians 5, with how believers actually deal with one another so often in the church, competing with one another, devouring one another, all these kinds of things that were going on in the church, challenging one another, envying one another. And so, this, forget the chapter break, and we come into the next thing, which is our study. And so we come in verse 6, brethren, talking to the believers, that's us, family members, in other words, everyone who's been bathed, even if a man, and he uses the word anthropos to remind us that when we sin, it is our flesh nature. It is the flesh nature that has the dirty feet. Even if a man is caught in any trespass, we're not to sit here and evaluate which ones we like, which ones we do not like. And remember, it means two things. He's either caught up in some trend of trespass, which is befitting to the text, or actually caught in an act of sin, which is also befitting to the context, or really to the Greek. So either way you want to look at it. And what does he say, do? Note that he does not say, get down and wash their feet. Doesn't say that, people. It's not what he says. But it is what he says. The concept that is now going to be presented in Galatians 6:1 is the concept of the foot washing, if you see it and understand it. So, brethren, even if a man is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, get down and wash their feet. Doesn't say that. But it does say what getting down and washing their feet is about. Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. And we noted last week, it's very important to know what being spiritual means. And people, you line up about 15 pastors, you're going to have 15 different answers. You're going to have all kinds of things. And there are people who think that unbelievers can be spiritual. And believers that don't know the first thing about walking in the Holy Spirit by faith can be spiritual. Just if you look spiritual, you're spiritual. And all this kind of nonsense. But just in simplicity, spiritual means with the Spirit. As holy means with God, unholy or godless. What does godless mean in Jude? Without God. So, spiritual means with the Spirit. It's a very simple way to remember this. So, the one who is walking in the Spirit. Does it mean someone that has been a Christian and been growing in Scripture and in walking in the Spirit and is a leader of the church or some great person? Doesn't mean that. Means those of you who are with the Spirit. It can be in any home, any church, any situation. The believer who knows how to be filled with the Spirit and is filled with the Spirit. Then it says, restore such a one. So this is where we are now, restoring such a one. This is what we are to do. Restoring them to fellowship. And people, that, if you recall, is what the foot washing is doing. Christ is restoring them to fellowship. Did I turn it off? Are we on there? Okay. Well, we're off over there. It just came off of my... Is it going? Okay. It dropped, and that's why I was wondering. Okay. Restore such a one. So restoring to fellowship. Restoring to fellowship with the Spirit, and then therefore with one another. Now, another very important principle. You cannot restore spiritually. Only God can do that. Always remember that. It's like it's like giving us we're ambassadors and leading others to Christ and bringing them, saving them. We don't save them, but we bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ. So then, and another thing, let's just take another very important thing of forgiveness. We can't forgive spiritually. That's something that God does. But there is an application for the believer under the filling of the Spirit in forgiving. Okay? I at one time was taught that only God can forgive. Only God can restore. And it is not our responsibility or place to forgive and do these things. But people, if you read the Scriptures, we are to forgive one another. We are to restore. And so it's our part. It's a wonderful thing that God has given us here. God has given to us as being partakers with Him part of the restoring process. We forgive, we restore, and so that they can move on in the plan of God and we can move on in the plan of God. Now, the spiritual restoring, of course, is the Holy Spirit of God when they go to faith. That's our part. We lift the burden so that they're able to go to faith. Now, unfortunately, most believers, out of the filling of the Spirit, want the believer caught in sin to crawl and to hibernate or do this, do that, promise God they'll never sin, be repentant with tears and all these kinds of things. It has nothing to do. It says in gentleness. So, restore. And not because you are a better believer than they are, but because you are spiritual at this moment. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we have, in a spirit of gentleness. Now, how are we going to do that? How are we going to do it with gentleness? What is gentleness? Well, first of all, look back at chapter 5, verse 23. Look back at chapter 5, verse 23. And what is the first one in verse 23 of the fruit of the Spirit? Gentleness. Now, what does that mean? People, it's like so many of the attributes of love, the fruit of the Spirit, the effect or impact of love, and the fruit of the Spirit, we can't sit here and make a long list of what that means. It's going to change in every circumstance. What was gentleness in one circumstance will not be the way what gentleness is in the next one. It's like kindness. What does kindness look like? Well, it depends on the circumstance. We can't define kindness in such a way that we can put down 10 laws of the kindness or gentleness. It's what is needed at that particular moment. And this was why the Divine Nine of the fruit of the Spirit are far more important than the Ten Commandments. Gentleness involves so many things. First of all, gentleness is something that is inside of you, comes from inside of you. You're not arrogant. You're not angry. You do not judge them. You are not self-righteous over them. You make it very easy for them to come back into the filling of the Spirit. So often, parents, I was amazed when I studied stress, anxiety, and depression. I'm still amazed. I still do reading and keep up with that type of momentum. The number of parents who make their children just feel terrible, judge them, malign them, criticize them. I'm just amazed at the number of men that do that to their wives, and even in many cases, wives to their husbands, just running them down, criticizing. And this is what parents will do. This is what people will do. And instead of, if there needs to be correction or a parent or child or something, doing it in gentleness. Peter, or Jesus Christ did not say something like, Peter, you're walking around with dirty feet. You're a filthy person. Get out of here. Go wash your feet and then come back in here. He didn't chew them out. He didn't run them down. Didn't run them out. He did it in a very gentle way. What was gentleness in the upper room? Getting down on the floor and washing their feet. That's in the spirit of gentleness, instead of chewing them out. I've got to restore these men. I've got to bring these men back, but I don't want to get them all frustrated. I don't want to get them angry. I don't want to get them disoriented, bewildered, and feeling sorry and guilt and shame. I don't want all that. I want to restore them in a spirit of gentleness. So he got down on his knees and washed their feet. So this is what he's doing. So, brethren, even if a man is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Now we come to a warning in restoring. Each one looking to yourself. By the way, spirit of gentleness, just one more thing. Jesus Christ didn't go through a long lecture and chew them out. I'm the Son of God. I'm perfect. Or I'm the Passover Lamb. I'm getting ready to die. He didn't do all of that. He didn't draw attention to himself. He drew attention to them being restored. They are worthy to be restored. Okay. Now, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Just because you're spiritual, filled with the Holy Spirit, does not mean that you are out of danger yourself. People, we all know how easy and how quickly we go into the flesh. I mean, you can walk out of your house and get in a car, and you just know you're filled with the Spirit. You've gone to faith in the Spirit. You're even humming a hymn. I mean, you're just right there, and the first thing you know, somebody pulls in front of you, and out comes this whole long vocabulary or whatever it is, and you wonder, where did that come from? Because it is so easy to go from the Spirit to the flesh. And it's easy, by the way, to go from the flesh to the Spirit, too. How y'all doing tonight? Well, that's all right. We'll just rearrange the furniture here. So there we go. Bonnie's important enough. We'll just rearrange the furniture. Poor Bonnie. The quietest guy who just wants to go through life like this. I'm just glad you're here, so thank you. Okay. Now, so you can be tempted. Now, what? Tempted to what? This is very important. Tempted to what? In context, you've just been said in a spirit of gentleness. What is being tempted? It means being tempted to try to restore them out of a spirit of gentleness, judging them, maligning them, having contempt for them. We're in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. So, lest you be tempted. Now, tempted to judge. People, let's use our upper room. What's going on with the foot washing? It'd be very easy to get down and say, "Ha! Well, I know where you've been walking. Boy, look at this. I know where you've been walking. Boy, your feet really stink. Oh! This is terrible. Where have you been walking?" See, you've now ruined everything. What have you done? You've come back and made them an issue. You've come back and made sin this great issue. Instead of restoring. Christ didn't do that. He washed their feet. That's what he did. So, being tempted is very important here. We're seeing what the upper room is about from a very beautiful verse here. They should be tempted to judge, malign, have contempt for the one that you're restoring. Let's move on to verse 2, because this is still part of the upper room of foot washing and of what it means. We have more of the foot washing mindset. Bear one another's burdens. Now, and look what it says, fulfill the law of Christ. Before we go any further, think about this. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Of course, we know that on the cross he bore our burdens. But you got the same picture. You got the same picture when he's down on the floor washing their feet. The burden is the stink and the dirt that's on their feet. And so he is taking it off. of them. So in that sense, removing that burden, the burden of smelly feet, that's what he's doing. And that's the foot washing incident. So that's the law of Christ. Okay, so many Christians are so concerned about fulfilling the Ten Commandments. And I dare say that most Christians do not even know about the law of Christ. Boy, they know about the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law, but they don't know about fulfill the law of Christ. In fact, they probably are so removed by false teachers from it. They think, I dare say, I don't have any reason for saying, but I bet you a lot of Christians who think the Mosaic Law is the law of Christ. They probably do. That you got to do those things, and then you'll be like Christ if you do the Ten Commandments. And that's not the case. The law of Moses is not the law of Christ. The law of Christ is much higher than the Mosaic Law. Much higher. Much more is demanded in the law of Christ than is demanded in the Ten Commandments. All right, let's take a look at our friend. Bear one another's burdens. The present active indicative of the Greek word bastazo. The word means to, this is beautiful, bear. Okay, bear. The Greek word means bastazo. I'd put it on the board, but it doesn't mean anything, wouldn't help us. But the word, the Greek word, means to stoop down. What did Christ do? Got down. Got down on his knees. Means to stoop down and take up or pick up and carry or bear something. That's what the Greek word means, all of that. Bastazo means to stoop down and pick up, take up, and carry or bear something. And people, knowing how to do that is very important. It's like in the gym, or it's like if you're properly taught when you got even around your house. Do you know how to stoop down and pick up something? A lot of people hurt their back because they don't know how. They don't know how to stoop down and pick up something. And so they end up, what, hurting themselves. And a lot of times Christians will do that in dealing with others. They hurt themselves. They get out of fellowship. They start judging and maligning and hurt themselves. So this word's a beautiful picture word. It means to stoop down like Christ did, to take up, pick up, and carry or bear something. And what is carried here is a burden. Now, the word burden refers to a weight. It refers to something that will pull someone down from their spiritual momentum. Remember in chapter 5 of Galatians, if you can remember back, he said you were running so well. Here a believer walking in the Holy Spirit, abiding in the Scriptures, growing, doing these things, and they have a burden to doing that. Sin. Either a sin pattern or the sin that they're caught in. You're made aware of it. You reach down, help them with that burden, with that weight, so that they can, what? Get up and start moving and serve the Lord. And you help carry that burden, that weight, not judging, not maligning, not gossiping. And this is what Christ did for us where? On the cross. He took our burden upon himself. And I don't have it in my notes, but I might as well look, think about this. If I thought about it, we'd spend some time looking at the verse, because this is a good place to see it. A lot of Christians know about bearing your own cross. You got to bear your own cross. And a lot of Christians say, you got to be good, and you pay the penalty of sin, you got this, all these things. Let me tell you what bearing your cross means, if you think about it. What is the cross of Christ? The cross of Christ is other people's sins. Is that correct? It's other people's sins. It is not his. Bearing your own cross is what we're studying right here and what was in the upper room. Foot washing. Fulfilling the law of Christ. Bearing one another's burdens. That's your cross. Your cross is to bear the burden of others so that they can walk in the spiritual light, so that they can have relationship with the Lord. Not judging, not maligning, not gossiping, not telling everyone, not separating, making sure that you do everything you can do for that person, that they can serve the Lord, instead of doing what you can do to make sure they don't. That's what a lot of Christians do. They don't want you to serve the Lord. You're not worthy to serve the Lord. You're horrible. You're dirty. And they're going to see to it you stay dirty. And if you're going to be clean, it's going to be by purging, not by them lifting it off, but by them purging you. This is very important to a lot of Christians, to purge another believer. No, you don't do that. So instead of the believer of doing that, the believer who is spiritual, walking in the Spirit, he reaches down, picks up, and helps that person to carry their burden. And there is nothing too low. There is nothing too low that we will not stoop down and carry to ease their burden so that they can walk in the filling of the Spirit. That's why you have to be spiritual. You have to be strong in the Spirit, or let me rephrase that, really. You have to be strong by the Holy Spirit. If you're going to help someone else with their burden, you've got to have strength in the Holy Spirit. You've got to have that muscle that He gets in order to lift someone else's burden and help them, so they can move on in life. This is what we have to do. So we're going to stoop down, carry there to ease their burden so that they can get up, be filled with the Spirit, walk on and serve the Lord. This is something that very few believers would ever do. And why? I might get dirty. I have to remain pure. I've got to separate from you so I can remain pure. I'm very cautious of my purity. This is a strong religious person. I've got to protect my purity. I cannot help you. I cannot be identified with you. I cannot get down there and help you out of that because it might get me dirty. And if it gets me dirty, then I'm no longer pure before God, and I got to what? Keep myself pure. No, people, the Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit does that for you. So that you are now free to help another believer and not care what other people think or about getting dirty, because you're not going to. You're walking in the Spirit. This is very beautiful as to what we have here. This is something very few believers will do, but this is what the spiritual person will do. This characterizes spiritual love. This characterizes spiritual love. This does not refer only to those believers who are out there in the world. Get this down. This begins at home, the most difficult place. This begins in the family, the husband, the wife. This begins with those closest to you. It's really easier a lot of times to help someone I don't really know than someone I know because, boy, I just know they're horrible and they're not serving well and they're not doing this and, boy, I just don't want to be identified with you. I might get dirty. No, you won't. This is the law of Christ. Now, you have, what does to do this mean? You observe, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Lift up their burden and fulfill the law of Christ. Now, what does this mean? Here's your principle. This means you have to be observant. This means you have to be observant. This means you have to be thoughtful. You have to see their needs. See how I can lift their burden. How do you do this? People, this is what spiritual love does. This is an innate characteristic of spiritual love, to be observant and to see a need and meet it. This is what love does. Let's go to a very basic flesh example. A mother loves her baby. She is always aware of a need. She is constantly aware of a need, whether it be diapers, food, holding, hugging, discomfort, cold, warm, whatever it may be. She's observant. I love this helpless creature. And love will always be looking for that. Now, that's just a basic example from the world. In the spiritual realm, when we're walking in the Spirit, spiritual love is observant. This is why it's so important that spiritual love is what? Spiritual love is not arrogant. What is arrogance? Me. Everything is me. Spiritual love is not arrogant, so that now it is not me, it's you. And since it's you, I have to be observant. What are we when we're arrogant, when we're walking in the flesh? Aren't we observant? Well, they just ignored me. They just offended me. They didn't give me any. They didn't offer me any. They didn't do this for me. That didn't happen for me. I mean, we are hyper. We're hyper when we're arrogant. We are so sensitive. Well, he said she's attractive. What about me? What about what I'm wearing? What about my children? What about my car? Well, I know I didn't say about my car, but me? What about me? We're hyper people. But you take away arrogance, and you're not occupied with yourself. Here it is. You are that obsessive, though, now about others. What is their need? Why are they hurting? What can I do to lift their burden so that they can walk in the Holy Spirit, so that they can serve the Lord? What's Christ want the disciples to do? Serve Him. He's getting ready to leave. So we want each other to serve the Lord. So we do what we can so that they can serve the Lord. This is very important. So this is what spiritual love will be. It's an innate characteristic of spiritual love to be observant, to see a need. Many people go through life and never see the needs and the burdens of others. Even people close to them. Even their husband, even their wife, their children, their parents. It's just amazing to me how even husbands and wives are not voice conscious. You just tell, if you're conscious, just listen to the way they talk. They don't even have to say anything that would give you a clue. It's the way they talk. If you're observant, if you're listening, you can tell. When you've been away from each other, he's been at work, she's been at work, and they come together, all you have to do is listen and watch. Be observant, and you'll know something's wrong. Something's not right here. But some people never do see it in their own children, in their parents, their friends, people in the church. And it's just amazing. You call him husband, you call her wife, and these people parents and friends and fellow believers in Christ, and yet you never see their need. It's all about you. It's not about them. It's not about what they need. It's about what you need. And you certainly are never going to see their burden. And if you do, so often instead of lifting it off, others immediately judge, attack, point out how horrible they are. Why did you do that? You're no good. Why did you even think of doing that? And boy, there you go in your little tirade, running down the other person. And so they either counter you, stand firm, or they become guilt and ashamed and all of that. They're never going to walk in the Spirit at that particular time. You haven't helped at all. In fact, you've just added to the burden. You just picked up extra weight and put it on them, rather than taking away the weight. And rather than saying, hey, let's talk about what happened. Let's get that out of the way. Let's get on with serving the Lord. So this becomes very, very important. So you see the needs when you're walking in spiritual love. Jesus Christ saw the needs of the disciples. What did he see, people? Now, let's talk about this. Do you believe that the Lord looked and saw their dirty feet and got so occupied with those dirty feet? And this whole thing is about dirty feet. Not at all. He saw their souls. Their souls were burdened. How am I going to restore them? How am I going to get them the mindset I want tonight for the communion that's about to take place, for the teaching that is about to take place? How am I going to do that? And and we're not talking about the omniscience of God here, we're talking of Jesus Christ just as a human. And then he probably looked down at his feet and he went, ah, perfect. Perfect. I got it. It wasn't like they walked in and immediately saw their feet. Well, look at those dirty feet coming to my table like my mother would. Did you wash your hands? Wash your feet? Wash all that? I'm sure he just watched their soul because they came in arguing, competing who was the greatest. And he looked at their soul and he said, I've got to help them. I've got to restore them. I've got to get them back into a mindset here. How can I do that? Now, I know he didn't do this, but just to give us a human thing here. And looked down and saw the feet and he went, that's it. That's it. There's how I'm going to do it. And then he got up, put on the robe, took off his outer garment, put on the servant's towel, and got down and washed their feet. This was all about their soul. He saw the need of their soul. He desired to draw attention to their soul, restore them in a spirit of gentleness. And to do that, he washed their feet. People, the spirit of gentleness is going to be different every time. I don't know what it's going to be. You don't know what it's going to be. Don't know. We get just any number of ways and burdens that people have, but we, in the filling of the Spirit, we will do it in a spirit of gentleness. So he saw their souls, and he stooped down, washed the filth off their feet to draw attention to their souls, not their feet, but to their souls. This was what he was doing, talking about their souls. Apparent. Who is wise and teaches good manners to the child. It's not a matter of the overt or the physical. It's a mindset. What are good manners? Good manners, people, is thoughtfulness of others. That's what good manners is. Now, remember the Leave It to Beaver, Eddie? Eddie, his good manners was all about me. His good manners was to draw attention to me. But good manners never draw attention to you. What draws attention? Bad manners. Someone sits down at a table, eats properly. We all don't sit there, oh, look, you're eating properly. We don't do that. But if somebody sat there and ate improperly, maybe with their fingers, something like that, it would draw attention. Bad manners draws attention. Good manners don't. Helping other believers, people, is drawing attention of their soul. You're thoughtful of them. This is what Christ is teaching. So, question, how would you have handled this? I think most Christians would have verbally attacked and walked out. Your feet stink, you stink, all of you stink, and I don't want to be in this stinking room. See? And we'll walk out. Or, I really like this room, and all of you stink, you leave. I'm staying here, and I'm going to do what? Have communion by myself. No communion now. If you're here by yourself, communion is communion with someone. So if you want to have communion, be like-minded. This is what he had to do. To fulfill the law of Christ, you will be observant, thoughtful, sensitive to the needs of others, not noisy and boastful and drawing attention to yourself. This is very important. The relationship with Christ. Forgiveness, help, carrying one another's burdens. See, all these type of things. So they are to do all of these. We are to do these things in a spirit of gentleness so that they do not continue to walk in darkness. The father of the prodigal son did not continue to send his money to the son while he was rebellious. People, this is very important. What we're talking about here, what we're talking about is spiritual. Do you understand that? Spiritual. This is not just arbitrarily giving, let's use money, giving money or helping people who don't care. I don't want to be restored. I do not want to be restored. Then fine. You cannot wash their feet. You cannot help them in a spirit of gentleness. Now you have to back off and just go into prayer. That's all that we can do. So, this is not just an arbitrary concept, people. We're not just talking about, and I want to be careful here with this example, but we're not talking about just going out and finding a bum in the street and giving him $10. Now, you can do that, but I'm just saying, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about in the spiritual realm, in dealing with one another. That's what we're talking about. So, a lot of people feel extremely obligated to their children or to this person and that person and the family members and all these things. And those people could care less about the spiritual. They couldn't care less about the spiritual. You're not going to be able to help them. What we can help them then is to back off and to be in prayer for them. Now, let's take a look at the verb to carry. To lift, to stoop down, and to carry. It's a present tense. And I bring that out because the present tense means people that should characterize your life. It's a present tense. Walking in the Spirit should characterize your life, and fulfilling the law of Christ should characterize your life. When you and I are walking in the Spirit, we are living under the law of Christ. Christ saw the condition of mankind, came to save. And to do this required that he stoop down and pick up the burden of the sins of the world on the cross. It's the law of Christ. It's to characterize our life. Active voice characterizes the action of the believer under the law of Christ, or in the filling of the Spirit, which puts us under the law of Christ, or actually causes us to fulfill the law of Christ. The indicative mood is the mood of reality. And each person has to ask himself, is this what I would do? Is this a reality in my life, seeing the need and helping others in their spiritual life? Does this characterize my life? Let's take a look at the word burden. The word burden refers to conditions that pull down. What's a burden? Keeps you down. Just think of a normal concept of a burden. Pulls you down. This is not talking about someone who does not desire to walk in the Holy Spirit. Some people just don't desire to walk in the Spirit. They do not want your help. They do not want you to lift their burden. In fact, they may not even see it as a burden. You can't go over and help them. Just leave me alone. Leave me alone. You can't help them. This is talking about a burden to somebody who would like to walk in the filling of the Spirit, who would like to have a relationship with Christ, who would like to serve Him. So this becomes very important. This passage is talking about those believers who desire to live the Spirit-filled life. And the burden is that which hinders them walking in the Spirit-filled life. It's the burden of sin. I used to be taught that, well, if somebody sins and you stay out of the way because if God disciplines and you get in the way, you're going to get some of the discipline. I haven't found that in Scripture. I tell you what I have found in Scripture. You go over and you help them lift up that burden of sin, just as Christ lifted it up for us. That's what I find in Scripture. This is what we are to do. But a lot of Christians are too, want to remain pure, don't want to get dirty by what others have. So, this is what it does. Then we have the phrase, and fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, I'm going to read to you, just stick with me now. John 13:14. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. That's the law of Christ. He did it in the upper room, and he also did it on the cross. What was the upper room? Believers. What was the cross? Unbelievers. We are, this is the gospel, if you please, for both unbeliever and believer. We are to help unbelievers and believers to be able to walk and serve the Lord. This is the law of Christ. Thus fulfill the law of Christ, present, active, and future, to fill up and to keep on filling up. Play role. Play role means to fill, to fulfill, to accomplish. Only here it has a prefix and a play role, which means again and again and again. See, I love the Greek. Because the Greek is you can build words. You can have so many different words. And so you've got pleroo, looks like this. And that's P-L-E-R-O, long O. And that means to fill. To fill up. See, to accomplish. And then you put this little thing here in the front of it. A-N-A. And that means again and again and again and again and again. means to keep on over and over and over. Living under the law of Christ is lived through your life. It's lived all the time. Another good example here of Anna Pleroo, again and again and again, to fill up, to fulfill the law of Christ. Another way of understanding all of this, how many times do I forgive, Peter said? 7 times? And boy, to Peter, that was a lot. That was a burden to Peter. To forgive somebody 7 times was a burden to him. And the Lord said, no, I'm going to really put the yoke on you. 7 times 70. And you can't do that in the flesh. But in the spirit, again and again and again and again. And you fulfill the law of Christ. And you will do this under the filling of the Holy Spirit. Being under the law of Christ means that we are under a much higher law than the Mosaic law. And many believers and seminary professors, pastors, teach that we're under the Mosaic law. People were not under the Mosaic law. In fact, we never have been. But we are under a much higher law, the law of the Spirit, the law of Christ. These are all the same law, the same thing. The law, what is the law? It's kind of, gives me a little, I don't like the concept of law of Christ. But when we understand what a law is, it's not that bad. Law is something that guides our life, guides our thinking. So we're walking in the Holy Spirit. And he guides our thinking, and this is the law we want to live by, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit-filled life. We do not have a list of laws. The law of Christ is not like the Ten Commandments. See? You talk about the Mosaic Law, Ten Commandments, what a lot of people don't remember is there are over 1,000 laws under the Mosaic Law, not just 10. If you want to do the Mosaic Law, I'll give you 10, and then we'll add about 1,200 more. And we'll just keep you going with laws. See, ours is much shorter. You need a lot of paper to write down a Mosaic Law. You need a lot of places in the Bible to write it all down. We have a very short list. Law of Christ. It's a Spirit-filled life. It's characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. To live the Mosaic Law, you have to study, and observe. And that's why a lot of people hammer away, you got to study. So you learn all of this, and you learn all this, and you can do all this, and do all that. No, people, that's a burden. If that's why people are studying the Bible, it's a burden. That's not what studying the Bible is. Studying the Bible lifts the burden off. It's a joy. The Spirit leads us to the text. We enjoy learning what the Bible does have to say. So, doing the law of Christ is the fulfillment of our whole life. It's a course of life. See? Now, example of the law of Christ. We won't turn there for the sake of time, but 1 John 3:16. Not John 3:16, 1 John 3:16, we know love by this. He laid down his life for us. That's the example. See, he's done us a lot of examples. Example in the upper room. Example on the cross. Example in the upper room for the believer. Example on the cross for the believer. We know love by this. He laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. He's an example. That's why we study him. That's why we read the text and have the Spirit show us what this love looks like. We grasp our Jesus Christ's love. Now in the leading of the Holy Spirit, we can love as He loved. We can see a need as He saw a need. We can handle and lift off the burden of that person and restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Some call it the Christian way of life, the Spirit-filled life, a lot of different things. But Jesus Christ is simply referring to serving Him, following Him, loving as He loved. It's that simple. It's loving as Christ loved. Now, back to John 13. Back to John 13. It's so important, in my opinion, that we do grasp and understand what this foot washing is about and not just go over it in one lesson, but to grasp what it means. Okay, verse 14. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's. By what law are we under this obligation, people? See what it says? You ought to wash one another's feet. By what law are we under this obligation? Not the Mosaic law, but the law of Christ. The law of the Spirit. The law of love. By that law. Not because it is part of the Mosaic law, but because Christ did it. Because this is what love will do. So we are under obligation, not by a written law, but by a living law. Verse 15, for I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Verse 16, another principle. Truly, truly, and we've studied this many times, means to pay close attention. This is very important. We don't say truly, truly anymore, but parents, are you listening? Or, you know, look at me and think, that type of thing. That's what this means. Truly, truly. It means concentrate now on what I'm saying. I say to you is for your advantage. I'm saying this for your advantage in understanding how you are to live. Okay, you recognize me as teacher. Well, I'm getting ready to teach you something. See, you say you recognize me as teacher. You've called me that. Well, I'm going to teach you something. To you for your advantage. If you will pay attention, this will be to your advantage in living as my servant. A slave is not greater than his master. Neither is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. Okay. Here's your main point here. The law of Christ is absence of arrogance. The law of Christ is the absence of arrogance. Spiritual love is the absence of arrogance. Spiritual love is not arrogant. That's where this begins. You cannot live under the law of Christ and harbor arrogance in your soul. If you do, think about it, you will not be another person's servant. Arrogance isn't going to serve somebody else unless it's to my advantage. Arrogance isn't going to get down and live, wash somebody's feet. Arrogance is not going to help someone that's got a burden of sin because they want to keep pure themselves. They don't want to be associated with impurity. They would never go to the cross. They would never lift someone's burden. So this knocks out arrogance. This is why 1 Corinthians 13 is so important. Love is not arrogant. To live under the law of Christ, which is to live under spiritual love, which is to live under the leading and filling of the Holy Spirit, means you will serve one another, believer and unbelievers, and this starts with the closest, those that are closest to us. But if you're arrogant, you think you're too good to serve others. You're too good to wash their dirty feet. You're too good to be associated with their iniquity, with their failures. And what is important here, people who are above serving others, and listen now, this is very important, what they will often do is they will use some wonderful sound logic, some wonderful reasoning as to why they shouldn't help another believer. I've heard this throughout my whole life. Why? To just reason out from the Bible, justifying from the Bible, why you shouldn't help another believer. Stay away from another believer of sinning and all, because when God disciplines, you don't want to be a part of it. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah. Yeah. They sin. God's going to get them. So if I'm over there, I'm going to get it. So I'm going to stand back. That's wonderful logic. It's the wisdom of man. It's the wisdom of man. It's not the wisdom of God. It's not the leading of the Spirit. But you'd be surprised how they can give you wonderful reasons on why they do not have to serve. Why they do not have to get down and wash the feet. Why they do not have to restore someone in a spirit of gentleness. Well, they're just going to do it again. See, I know these people. They're going to do it again. Well, I know them too. So are you. But they're going to use some wonderful logic. Spiritual or biblical logic, we'll call it that. How they put it all together, because they're very smart in doing this, very wise, on why they don't have to do this. So it's very interesting to listen to them. And they're certainly not going to help someone if they have to lower themselves or get in touch with the dirt. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is the one sent greater than the one who sent him. So we have two concepts here. We have two concepts working here. First of all, we have slave. Let's put it here. We have slave, our servant, and then we have the one sent. So we have two concepts in this passage that you want to be note of in your thinking. Slave and the one sent. Both of these designations tell us about Jesus Christ. Amen. But they also tell you about you. Uh-oh. Don't know if I like that so much. See, we like it when this applies to Christ. He is the servant of us all. He's the servant of God. He's the one sent. That's great. It also tells you about you. You're the servant, and you're the one sent. See, it's like that passage in 1 John 3:16. We know love by this. He laid down his life for us. Amen. Boy, that's so great. Let's preach on that. We ought to do the same thing. Lay down your life for one another. Ooh, I don't know if I like that. I like when Christ does it, but I don't know if I want to do that. I like it when somebody else washes my feet, but I don't know about washing somebody else's. I like when somebody else helps me, but I don't know about helping somebody else. Don't think I like that. This tells you about Christ, and it tells you about ourselves. When we become a servant, wash feet, whatever it takes to restore another believer, help another believer in their spiritual life. This is what we're talking about here. One principle is essential in doing this. Jesus Christ is talking about spiritual service, washing feet for spiritual recovery, helping in any way that we can another believer in their spiritual life. Now, closing principle. Many will take advantage of this, using for their advantage in the flesh, restoration of the flesh, not of the spiritual, of the flesh. Just using this as an example. Hey, Pops, get me out of jail. This is very important, you get me out of jail. Not so that I can walk with the Lord, not so that I can be restored, not so that I can walk in the Spirit, but just so I can get out of the pokey. Just so I can get out of here. I want you to understand, I'm not saying parents shouldn't do that, but I'm just saying where often people will use and take advantage of others for restoration of the flesh. They do not care one bit about walking in the Holy Spirit by faith or growing in the knowledge of truth. They just want promotion or money or some advantage in the world, not spiritual. And you don't want to fall into that trap. You want to be very careful about that. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit will not lead you sometime. But I just want to make sure that we draw the line here. What we're talking about is spiritual recovery. The father of the prodigal son did not send him money so as he was out there waddling with the pigs. Well, I'll just continue to send you money so you can continue to do that. The father did not do that. The father didn't even go out and hunt for him. Father didn't even go out there and look for him. But what's very important, when the son wanted to return, the father was there with open arms and welcoming him back, ready to kill the fatted calf, restore and communion and fellowship and everything. And that everything in that category. So this is very important in understanding that we're in a spiritual battle. We're talking about spiritual things here. So we'll pick it up right here next Wednesday evening and continue. And hopefully we'll probably make it through the foot washing and go on to Judas leaving the upper room. And when Judas leaves the upper room, then it will be time to give the new commandment to love as I have loved. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ is not the kind of leader, head of the church, who just tells everybody what they ought to do. He leads by example. He is our example, so that we can be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, so that we can be conscious of what the Spirit is doing, what's happening in other people's lives, and how, Heavenly Father, we can help and restore and encourage. Father, thank you so much for the giving us the record of the foot washing incident. Not so that we can take on and be burdened with another ritual, but so that we can see the law of Christ in action. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.